heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. Let us find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And we thank you that we do recognize we have a need for you, Lord, and you are fulfilling that need every minute of every hour of every day. We thank you for that. We are not forgotten. We are remembered. In fact, you put our needs before your own. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen again. So just want to remind you of our special for this month. Next weekend is we have next weekend too. It's Ministry of the Watchman, Beacon of the Body of Christ, Keeper of the Lord's Lighthouse. If anybody here hasn't read it, you should get a copy and read it while we've got it on sale, and you get a devotional to go. I know that went over real big, right? Hey. So 7 weeks to health and healing is the freebie, and it's $16.99. That includes shipping. So your shipping is free, so praise God. We're going to continue talking about Jesus as our intercessor. Amen. He is the one who is called to assist us. Really, there is so much to his role as intercessor. I was going back through my notes and through the book of Hebrews that really talks about his priesthood. And really, that we don't know anything. You know, we start out babies in Christ and learning, trying to understand and trying to live for God too, and everything. So we need not only a helper. Think about this. The Holy Spirit help us, lead us, guide us, validate truth when we hear it. He's the one who helps us understand the word. He's our teacher. And then Jesus is our heavenly teacher. He's up at the right hand of the Father as a minister over our confession or prayer. The sent one and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen. So he says, I want you to consider him. And for about the next 4 or 5 chapters in the book of Hebrews, he just breaks down everything that Jesus is to us. You know, take some time to read. And there's a sick, dead, crazy world out there waiting on the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. And we're not talking about praying here and there. You know, I thank God we pray every Saturday, and some of us wouldn't pray, you know? It's just that way. It's something that people don't really, I think, take seriously enough to understand the power of prayer. If you could see sometimes what your prayers do and the effect that they have on humanity. I mean, seriously, there are times when we go out witnessing and you see what happens when you pray for people. You see the difference that it makes for them. You see that you know that God's pleased. You know all that. You get that good feeling when you pray for people and you go home. But God wants us to be able to do that all the time. And I think we can petition him, you know, Lord, find me somebody to pray with today. You know, you just put it out there like that. That's his job. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead you, but he can't do it without your permission, without your faith and your cooperation. Because there are times when we interact with people and we just as soon argue with somebody as to make peace with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't realize the power you have to do the Lord's work on behalf of that person, you know, to be the Jesus, the Christ that they need to see every day or need to see more often. And so we need to keep ourselves reminded of who we really are, you know, and what we can do. And I think everybody here has been saved long enough to know what your purpose is. You know, you're here to make a difference to people. You're not just here for yourself and, you know, to get your life on track and get this from God and that from God. So, okay, so you got everything you need, or you should know that you have it, or you can get it very easily. We have no lack. We have no wants, because he's our good shepherd. If you're obeying God, you have no lack. You're just sitting up looking at stuff because you're bored, because you need to be praying for somebody, doing something for somebody else sometime. Get that off of you, you know, that old worldly spirit of, you know, what's next, and I want this, and I want that. Yeah. And just get yourself focused on what you're really here for, and that is to work for God and to conform to the image of his son. Amen? We got some shaping up and some growing to do. So anyway, you know, the apostle here says, consider, think about that. He is the high priest over our profession, or one translation says confession. So every word that you speak, Jesus has to minister over it. You know, we just don't speak things out and it happens. Thank God. You know, sometimes our thoughts are raggedy and our words are raggedy. And so, you know, we need to thank God that he understands. You know, sometimes, you know, you get under pressure and you say stuff and, oh, Lord, please forgive me. Or you don't. That's a going thing in Christianity. You don't have to just, what they say? Ask forgiveness for every little thing. What's a little thing? Sin is sin. I don't know no little, unless you Catholic. Now, they a grade of sins for you, but they all take you to hell. The little ones and the big ones. Amen? And you need to confess your sins just because you want to be on good terms with God. You know, I mean, you don't want anything hanging over you and you feel guilty going to them and your faith is all janky and jacked up and cheesy with holes in it. You understand what I'm saying? That's what puts holes in your faith. That's why a lot of people wait for a lot of things that never come, because their faith is not working. Imagine that your faith is coming out of your spirit, man, but hanging over you is a lot of negative words. It's a lot of activities you shouldn't be involved in. There's a hanging over, and your faith has got to pierce through all that. Well, if you confess it, Jesus removes it, and you got a clear feel for your faith to work all the time. This is why we sometimes, what's taking so long? Wonder what's, that's because you're out of step with God. You should be at peace with God. You should be excited about what's going to happen, you know, in your life. You should know what the next thing that's coming in your life is and be glad about it. That's the way he wants us to live. But see, this thing called sin and guilt, you know, a fake way of having peace with God. You understand what I'm saying? People, let's just put on a happy face. Yeah, you need to confess something. You need to get hard down serious with God. God, I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry. That ain't right. I ain't been here talking to you like this in a long time. And we need to have that conversation, as they say in the world. Amen. So you need to have that conversation. And that's why a lot of times people will pick up religious things to do, like, well, I got to confess the word more. No, you need to get before God. Talk to your high priest and really find out what's hanging up your situation. Now, if you have peace about it and you know the answer is on its way, then you're not concerned about how long it's taking, because you know it's coming. Amen. You know it will come to pass. But if that's not where you're at, you need to talk to him and find out what the dealio is. You know, sometimes we just need to talk to God. Remember him? He's your friend. He's here to help you. I was listening to a minister, and they were saying that God would manifest his presence to this gentleman off and on throughout his walk. He was a minister, and he said Jesus talked to him one time, And he said, for some reason, his voice sounded, you know how like you would put, say like you got a the old record players. I know I'm dating myself, but you know, the old 45s, if you would put your finger on that as it was going, that voice would drag. And he said, that's how Jesus's voice sounded him. And he said, Jesus said to me, and you know, sometimes God will put things on a certain, say it in a certain way to make you remember it, make it memorable, because it's not just something he said and you can forget it real easily. But this was pronounced. And he said, Jesus said, told him, he said, why don't people, and I'm going to speed it up, you know, a little bit, realize all I want to do is love them. I'm going to say it again. Why don't my people realize that all I want to do is love them? He's not mad at you. He's not going to tell you to do something you can't do. He's not going to make your life hard. You understand what I'm saying? You already know what to do. We all know right from wrong. And he's going to help us do the right. You understand what? There's a big difference there. Because he's not condemning anybody for their wrong. He paid for your wrong already. Amen? He just wants you to let him be your friend and help you to live right for him. So that you can have that relationship, that love relationship that he so wants to give us. That relationship he died to give us. So really, when you think about it, Jesus did all of that. He became a human. For us, there is a reason he did it. And so it says here in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, for every high priest taken from among men, he was taken from among us as a priest, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So he's ordained to help us to get to know the Father. To help us to relate to the Father, to help us to grow, you know, let the Father be our friend. So he's ordained to help us with that because we need that. We don't know anything about God. The little bit that we know is a lot of it's still a puzzle. It's still a mystery, you know, and so he's there to guide us through this relationship with the Lord and to help us so that we can understand God better. We can have success in what we're doing. If you don't think your prayer is quite right, guess what? He can make it right before it gets to the Father. He fixes it up before it gets there. Thank God we're not just, you know, the old saying, you spoke it into existence. You ain't doing that. You don't have that power. You don't want that power. That power belongs to God. Because if that were true, why does it take you so long to get healed? Why does it take you so long to get a promotion at your job? Where does it take you so long if you were speaking to stuff? Because you want it now. Everybody wants it right now. Yep. Nope. Somebody grabs that word you spoke and ministers over it. Why do we need somebody minister over our words? Because a lot of them is raggedy. A lot of them ain't right. Some of them are full of unbelief. The ones that are full of unbelief, he only listen to that. So, or he'd be catching all day long. You understand what I'm saying? But he ministers over what you profess as a Christian. Over your words of prayer, over your words that line up with God's word. And he puts he sets it in order in your life. That's why there's some things that you pray for and it takes years before they come to pass. He takes your confession and sets it in order in your life so that it fits in at the proper time and it doesn't come premature. It doesn't come, you know, piecemeal halfway. Yeah, you know, sometimes we'll want something and we'll change it. So it sounds like you really want $1,000, but you said, well, 300, that'd be enough. You know, and God put $1,000 on your heart. Now, when that $1,000 is coming is up to him. But if you never get it out of your mouth, it ain't coming at all. So if it doesn't come right away, don't get discouraged. You know you prayed it, and you know you prayed it in faith, but the high priest over your confession intercepts all of it. And he puts it in its proper order in your life. He sets it in. Some of it, we got to hear it over and over again to get used to it. I'll say it again. Some of the things that God wants to give us, we have to hear ourselves say it over and over again just to get used to it being a part of our lives. Amen? You know, you just, that's why when, before you get married, it's good to have an engagement. An engagement so you can get used to the idea that this is going to be until you die. Or kill each other. I don't know what y'all people have planned, but well, some people, you know, they make a quick work of everything, but you know what I'm saying. There's some things that need to be spoken. You know, you need to make a commitment, a verbal commitment to one another. Get a ring so it's serious. Be running around somebody living in your house calling you their fiance. That's a bunch of nonsense. People just so crazy. They say anything, any kind of lie to make it. And they're not fooling anybody. I know y'all ain't intend to get married. You've been shacking too long. Amen. And so it's like, you know, come on, like, just come clean. Let's just be who, but God never ordained for that kind of living. He said if you, when you have an engagement, it's so that you can get to understand one another and get accustomed to and test to see if that person will stay faithful to you. That's really what the engagement period is for, is to, we right now, we are engaged to Jesus Christ. The marriage supper has not taken place yet. Amen. So don't be calling Jesus your man. You know, people used to say all kind of crazy stuff like that and all that kind of stuff. He's your friend. He's everything to you. But still be respectful. You know, don't put him on some gutter level, you know, everyday level. He is worthy to be praised. He gave his whole life for you. When you hated him, he loved you enough to die for you. So let's get this straight and be honorable before the Lord and treat him with respect and treat his name with respect, you know, and honor him and lift him up. You know, we got a long way to go, some of us, you know, but he is the high priest over your profession. So he waits for us to speak. And the Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak, and we call it prayer. Amen. Or you can call it confession, but pretty much we are acknowledging that God is the source of all of our needs. When you pray, you acknowledge that God is the source. You are not going to man. You're not trying to cut corners. You're not trying to steal anything. You want it to come from heaven, and you want it to come as a result of your faith. And so never give up on your faith. You know, there are people that, you know, they quit asking God for anything, quit, and always conniving and cutting corners and acting crazy and, you know, just crazy stuff. Start writing down what you're expecting God to do for you. Remember the old days we would write down our prayer requests and what we were waiting on? Some people don't even bother anymore. Why? Because they've given up. They're going through the motions of, you know, their heart's not in it. God wants your heart to be in it. Amen. He is the one high priest that when he sees your heart is in something, that's everything to him. You'll get it then. If your heart's in it and your confession is raggedy, you'll get it. And y'all know what I mean. You know, he'll bless you anyway in certain things, you know, and you can't even figure out how that happened because you finally turned it around and started trusting him again. Amen. Amen. He waits for us to come back to him. Amen. He's faithful like that. And so, and he understands that, you know, he's lived our life already. He lived as a man on the earth. He knows what it takes to live down here. He knows what it takes to live here and live for him. So he's compassionate toward us. He's merciful toward us. That's why his mercy never runs out. Amen. There's always something in the mercy bank, folks. Always. Amen. And so this is what he wants us to come clean, though. You can't get nothing from God trying to be slipshod. I didn't do that. Nah, that was somebody else. That wasn't me. The Holy Ghost is right there to let you know you lying, you know. So come on, let's live honest before God. If you can't be honest with anybody else, be honest with him. And you need to be honest with everybody else. Amen. That'll make you some real good friends. Because when people know that you're an honest person, they want to be around you. They don't want to be around liars and connivers. They want to be around honest, trustworthy people. So that helps you in every relationship. So, but he is a high priest taken from among men. He's ordained for men and things pertaining to God. And this is what an intercessor does. He's ordained to help us in things pertaining to God, because we don't know everything. And we will never know everything. And this is God's system. This is so your prayers won't fail. This is so your prayers will be acceptable. And this is so your requests will be verified, and they will be acted upon. They'll come to pass. And it says, and he says that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So Jesus did that once and for all. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? That's all of us. I don't care how much book learning you done had, and how many certificates and degrees. Certificates are like short term. Degrees mean you done put some work into something. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can get a certificate. That's like the, what do you call it? What kind of trophy they give you these days? Participation trophy, right? You were there every time they had a meeting. You were there, and so they said, "Well, we got to pass out these papers. Who can we? Oh, yeah, she's been here a while. Get that one to her. You know, it's just for participating. But God wants us to know that we are still ignorant. You don't know the priesthood. You don't know how it works. We don't know a lot of things about how to please God, but we do have somebody inside of us who can help us know. And then we have Jesus, our high priest, who's passed into the heavenlies to minister over our confession. He ministers over your words. So if you have some words that are not beneficial to you, he will let the Holy Spirit know. And the Holy Spirit says, I don't speak on my own, but I speak what I hear. So he hears Jesus say, that's not acceptable. Tell her to not say that, but say the word to me and I will manifest the word. Amen. Sometimes we're saying things that we have just heard somebody say, and they don't come from the word of God. Plus, you've got to learn how to meditate on the word to get your faith to the level where it'll start to produce for you. So you can't cheat, in other words. This is not like cramming for a final, where you just get a bunch of facts in your memory and spit them out, and then later on you forget them. You'll find yourself cramming in your life all your life. Jesus don't want us cramming. He wants us to carry the word with us through meditation. And once you start meditating that word, it gets to be very, very real, very, very powerful. And then it's time to pull the trigger on your faith and to pray for it. Amen. It's when it starts to really get to the point where you believe it. Amen. And you're not easily talked out of it. Anybody can think like sometimes you'll hear a familiar scripture. And what do we all do? We either say amen, that is at least coming from your spirit, or you'll nod your head in agreement. Well, that head nod means I've heard it before. It's what they call mental assent. You mentally agree with God's word because it sounds good to you. I sure wish it could come to pass. That's not faith. See, when it's on that level only, it's not the faith of God. Faith, God's faith is what you believe in your heart. You take it into your heart by choice. You choose what to believe. Amen? Now, you got to understand, you got other stuff in your heart that don't agree with God's word. So it's a choice. Do I kick that old stuff out and embrace this new thing that I'm not real sure that's God? I don't know if he's going to give it to me. I don't know if it's real. You understand what I'm saying? The new stuff is kind of an unknown to us, and we're not sure how much we want to invest ourselves in it. I remember years ago when God told us to start expecting him to do miracles in the healing services. And I told people, and they started looking at me like, what's she talking about? Miracle who? Miracle what? We don't cotton to no miracles around here, around these parts. Why? Because it was new to their ears. So you have to keep saying it. Now it doesn't bug people to say miracle. You understand what I'm saying? Because we accept it now. So, because we've kicked out all that old stuff that was fighting it. So now I could get a miracle. That means that when they give you a diagnosis that what you have is incurable, it don't faze you. Now, you'll be upset about it. Anybody would be. But you'll think back, well, God, you can do this. This is not too hard for you. Amen? God heals all diseases. He said he healeth all of your diseases. That means there are no diseases is that he can't heal and won't heal and has not already healed if you'll take him, let yourself believe on that basis. If you see yourself as already healed by his stripes, not by just saying, nodding your head and saying, I'm healed by his stripes. You are healed by his stripes. See yourself as healed by his stripes, and the devil is trying to talk you out of it. That's the whole thing. How does he talk us out of it? With lying symptoms, stuff you can see. I call it a lie because it's not lining up with God's word. Anything that ain't his word is not true. Amen? Anything from sin is temporary. Anything from this world is temporary. Anything from a Wuhan lab is temporary. I don't care where it came from. It's all temporary, folks. It's not going to hurt you. You know, people don't believe stuff like, did anybody in your group get? No, nobody got Rona. Well, how'd they stay healthy? By their confession and their faith, what they believe. What'd they say? What do you think we said? We ain't getting it. And what did we get? We didn't get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We did not get it. You know, you got to stand on what you believe, folks. And if you don't believe it, stand until you do. You know, sit or get, you know, halfway stand or crawl or something. But you got to take a stand on that word. Why do you believe the word? Because you want to see it happen. That's the only reason you believe God's word. You want to see it come to pass. Now, you got to believe God can do it. And you got to believe he will do it for you. And has done it for you. We were healed by his stripes. When? When did he take a beating? You were healed back then. You were healed before you were born. You were healed before the devil found out you were here to try to put something on you. You were already healed. You can walk in it now that you're redeemed from the curse. Amen? Now we can walk in it. We're redeemed from the curse of everything. I don't care what it is. Sickness. Poverty. Craziness, whatever it is that the devil's trying to make us accept. As long as you're resisting it, you're in the fight. When you accept it is when you kind of got to be concerned. But you can drop the acceptance, say, now, wait a minute. I'm not going for this. I don't have to live like this. This is not what Jesus ordained for me. Amen. And the reason you can do that, you know, you can start out being very doubtful about your health, your healing, whatever. And then by the end of the day, you're fully believing again. Now, how did that happen? You got up. You realized you didn't feel good. your mind starts, oh boy, that's so-and-so and such-and-such. And then somehow during the course of the day, your mind flipped over into the word. Now, how you think that happened? You had some help doing it. Because if it was just you, you'd still be whining, complaining, moaning, whatever. Feeling bad, looking for the pill, looking for this. I'm going to stay in the bed. Get me some tea. You understand what I'm saying? If somebody didn't intervene for you and pull you back over into your God mindset of who you really are, and that's Jesus. You need him to be, he ministered over your thought life. I ain't confessing nothing. Yeah, but you thinking it. You little cheater, you think he don't know your thoughts? Amen. The Holy Ghost relay is in force. Holy Ghost can hear what you thinking in there. It's getting a little crowded for him. He said, I sure would like it if they get back in the word again. We'd have fun. You understand what I'm saying? And so Jesus hears your confession. He knows what you're thinking. Amen. He sees spirits of doubt and discouragement coming towards you, trying to hang on because of your thinking. Amen. Even if you don't say nothing, you know, you got to start busting out of that, allowing the devil to just hang on and not resist him, not stay in faith, not stay in the fruit of the Spirit, not stay in peace, stay in joy. You got to stay in there. Amen. And that makes it so much easier for God to get the right words out of your mouth. So for those words to start activating what it is that you desire from God, and for that to come to pass. The sooner you can flip it over and start thinking health, start thinking, he took this from me. Start thinking, I don't have to take this, devil. Wait a minute. Why am I thinking like this? Amen. I can think healed. That means I can be healed. Amen. That it starts with what you think, what you meditate on. You sit up and you think about how sore you are, how this don't feel right, that don't feel right. Well, it may not feel right, but you're not stuck with that. It may not start out feeling right, but you ever notice that, you know, especially children sometimes. Children are so honest within themselves sometimes, you know. Like a little kid might come to mama when they're hurt, and, you know, that little attention feels good to them, but after a while they say, I want to keep playing. I want to keep running in there, getting, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's cool for a minute, but the average child doesn't want to live like that. Why is it we get to be adults and we got to start whining to everybody? We pick that up from babyhood. Well, it's true anyway, you know. Maybe y'all don't live in the real world. I try to. As well as live in the spirit, but you know how you are, and you know how you've been, and you know how other people are. You can tell a mile away when somebody's just trying for attention, before they come up to you, you want to get the holy water out, huh? And get your crucifix out and wave it in front of them. Don't come here. You understand what I'm saying? Don't bring that demon over here. Is really what we're saying, because if you're in joy and you're in peace, you don't want anybody disturbing that. And it's some pity devils is real big, man. You know, they engulf the whole room if you let them. Don't let them people start talking, man. Huh? You ever, you notice, I would, it crack me up sometime when I would watch Benny Hinn. And people would come up and start want to tell their testimony about how they got healed. And then they want to start way back. And he knew when to move the mic out of there, because they go way back and start talking. And they stay too long in the past where they were sick, where they felt bad, before you know it, this changed the whole atmosphere. They said, just tell us what happened back here. He tried to get them up here into the testimony part, you know, We don't need to know how many years you suffer unless somebody asks you, unless the minister asks you. You don't have to volunteer that. Just tell them briefly. You know, I wasn't feeling good or this one, but well, what? Tell me what more about. Let them guide you. You don't come up there with a because most people love attention. I don't care who you are. When the spotlight is on, boy, you be cutting up. And absolutely. And we don't realize we're not glorifying God when we embellish how bad the devil is. You know, I mean, come on now. You know, people would come in late and they would start out, I had so-and-so, and then the oxygen goes out of the room. You know, you're late. You need to come in apologizing instead of looking for sympathy. While we got to feel sorry for you, we got here on time. You understand? Understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, he's just saints kind of trying to kind of like run from each other, you know, until it's safe to come out with certain individuals. You know what I'm talking about. Because if you give them the word, they're going to tell you off. They're going to be mad because they don't want the word. You don't jump in that pool with them. You don't want to do that. You don't jump in the pool of pity or anything like that with people who are in that place. Because you got to be the one to pray them out of there. Amen. And so you just have to learn how to be creative with God and how to really feel for people and intercede for them. But when it comes to our words, we have to be careful how we use our words, and we have to be careful the word that we hide in our heart. So you have a choice as to what kind of words you can hide in your heart. You can hide the word of God in there, or you can hide circumstances, words that point to circumstances. And you don't need to be a circumstantial Christian. You want to be somebody who walks in nothing but victory. So we need Jesus to minister over our words, folks. Trust me, we really do. And he is our advocate. Amen? He's on our side. Whether we believe it or not, or whether we want to accept it or not, he advocates for us. He is the high priest over our profession. And because our sins are forgiven, he has paid the price and the penalty from them. We don't get penalty anymore. Amen? Unless you just want it. You just refuse God's help. Amen. You don't have to walk in the penalty for sin. Nobody does. Amen. You can even get people, if you don't know God, you can petition people who know him. So we've got 2 and 3 and 4 tiers of intercession for people down here on this earth. There are people that we come in contact with all the time that aren't saved. But that doesn't mean God wants them to suffer. He puts them in contact with you so you can intercede for them. Sometimes he just wants to show people who he wants to reveal himself to people. The devil lies so much on God, he tells lies on the truth all the time. So we are truth bearers down here. We are pointing people to the truth of God's word. And God's word is that he has forgiven everybody and he'll have compassion on whomever he wants to have compassion on. And so we're the compassion people as well as Jesus is and as well as the Holy Spirit. So this is a compassion ministry. And so he says here in Hebrews 5:2, he says he has compassion on the ignorant. That means people who don't know God's ways or who may have an issue in their lives that they're stumped on. You know, they've been praying, they've been using the word, doing the best they can, but the ignorance is still there because you can't know everything at one time. Amen. And God will open that door of revelation to you and answer that question and give you knowledge. So God works through knowledge, folks, not ignorance, but he has compassion on. He's not there just because you don't have the answer. He's going to beat you up about it. He's not like people. That's not compassion. Amen. Compassion on the ignorant means that you will pray for them and ask God on their behalf what the answer is. That's what you need to do. So it says here, because he himself also is compassed with infirmity. So he's familiar. That word compassed means he's been surrounded by infirmity. Amen. At one point. So he knows what that feels like. And so because all priests are human and have been touched with humanity for that reason, that they don't stand up here away from you and lord it all over you. They stand on your level, but they can draw from heaven. They can draw from the throne room. They can draw from God so that they can help you down here. And it says here, it says in verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. That title was conferred upon him by the Father. But he that said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In other words, that title came from the Father. And he said also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which means that Jesus is an eternal high. He will never stop praying for us. He never is off the job. Melchizedek was without beginning and without end. He just seemed to come out of nowhere. Amen. And which means he is on a different level of any priest. He's higher than we are. He is our boss. So we get our instruction, we get our vision, our words, we get that from an eternal source, which means that there will always be another prayer to pray. It's never late. If he's a priest in an eternal fashion, it's never, you can see some of the sickest people, and if somebody will start praying the word over them and invest the word in them and begin to get them to hear the word, that situation will turn around. They could be at death's door and turn totally around. Why? Because your priest lives forever. You know, I remember when we were kind of new in the ministry, and the Lord was somebody, I think I was ministering to somebody, and they were saying like, well, I don't know if, you know, I've done too much and, you know, that kind of thing, like it was too late. And the Lord told me to tell them there's always another prayer to pray. You understand what I'm saying? There's always another prayer to pray. Always. Why? Because this is the eternal priesthood. God always has compassion. He's always there to answer. That the Bible says men ought always to pray and not what? Faint or give up. Faint doesn't mean just get tired. That means quit. You know, pray always and don't quit on your prayer. Why? There is still being worked on. As long as you believe it, it's still being worked on. And I tell you this much, if you quit believing it, it's being worked on anyway. Somebody else, God to give that burden to somebody else to pray. Huh? And the cleanup woman that got your man you were praying with for all that time and decided you quit. Don't mess up with me on that one. I got some testimonies I can share, but I ain't going to do it here. But you understand what I'm saying. Amen. So, and God is testing us to see if we'll stay faithful. Anybody can pray for a season or pretend like they're praying. I always say that. I say to myself, now these people couldn't have been that invested in that prayer to quit that quick. You understand what I'm saying? How much faith would you have invested? Because faith is always stirring us up to continue. Because faith lives in you and it doesn't quit. So you got somebody in there that don't quit, yet you quit. See, I think a lot of times people are just going through the motions. It's religious. they think they're in it. But I just don't believe that the Holy Spirit living in you will leave you in the dark like that. You know, you're probably content with pretending. Now, a lot of people come to church and they ain't in it. And I'm talking about leaders. I don't care who it is. They don't have to be in it. I remember somebody might have been Shannon Crawley. She went away to, somebody went away to a different church or school or something, but she was in Bible school and they're the pastors of the Bible school kids. The wife gave the testimony. She said, yeah, we were pastoring the church for I don't know how many years. She said, and whoever the husband, he came in one Sunday, you know, he stayed a little longer than I did at church. And I was crying, sitting in the middle of the floor crying. And he asked me what was wrong. He said, I just got saved today. And she is a pastor's wife. They've been pastoring for, she just got saved. Got me? Yeah, praise God that she finally got it. Amen. But some people are good pretenders. She's married to a saved man. Sometimes you wonder how that really happens. But it does. So she knew if she was saved or not. Amen. Sandy Brown said the same thing. All her kids went through Christian school. She was a traveling minister. And she said she would go out on the road, and sometimes she'd have back-to-back meetings. And she always was drawn to the presence of God. You know, when you're like that, God don't leave you real fast. You understand what I'm saying? She said she came home and she was walked in the living room, and the glory of the Lord was on her, and her son came up and was crying. He said, Mama, Mama, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. She said she was telling him, you're already saved. Quit. You're already. He wasn't. See, people know when they're saved. No, I'm not. She said, you pray in tongues. No, I don't. I just say boosha, boosha, boosha when y'all be talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? People sometimes fall through the cracks because those around them who are saved want to believe they are. See, there's something in us who surround people where we want to believe certain things about them, and they may not be true. Amen? And so, you know, pray for people and say, God, I just want your will for them. I want them to know you the way you want to know them. And put their spiritual welfare first instead of letting it slide. You know, like sometimes we don't think about it too much, but you've got to want what God wants for people first and foremost. Amen. And that way they'll get there. Amen. They'll get there because we can give people a pass in a minute. You know, we don't want to let it be a problem for us, and we don't want it to be this, and we don't want it to be that. But there are people in our midst that really do need for God to touch them in a unique way, in a forever way, so that will be settled and they'll live the kind of life God really has ordained for them to live. So there's much prayer that needs to be done, folks. And Jesus being the high priest over our profession, he will let you know how to pray for people. He'll put it on your heart where you say, you know what? They just don't seem to have any joy, Lord. What's wrong? Or they go after things and don't ever really get what they're looking for. You know, show me how to pray. You're not trying to be a critic. You're not trying to put them in a you know, they won't get saved category. You're trying to get them all over the finish line to where God wants them to be. And this is what we have to continue to do. Continue to thank God. My whole family is saved and serving you. They are worshipers, Lord. I thank you for making them into worshipers. Amen. And just let God have his way because he wants everybody to repent and to worship him. Amen. That's how you get the things you need from God, is through putting him first and worshiping him. And so that should be your prayer. That doesn't mean you got to go around and beat up everybody all the time, but you do have to pray. You know, you do have to believe God for more for everybody. You know, don't just stop. Just always be in there for more. And so, and that's Jesus, our high priest. Amen. And in it, it was Jesus prayed when he was here on earth. He prayed for the disciples all the time. He prayed for himself before the Father. He prayed for ministry. He prayed for everything. And once you're born into an earth suit, that calling never leaves you. So we as believers will continue to pray. Amen. Even over into eternity, because it's, I don't know this for sure, but it's possible that there is prayer in heaven still. Amen. I know Jesus prays for sure, you know, and there may be prayers of the saints that go on in heaven as well. So we just don't know. Everybody up there is pretty content, but then they work too. You know, there's still work to do. So Jesus is our high priest. He is a priest forever, eternally, which means that he draws his power source is an everlasting power source. So that's why there's always another prayer. That's why it's never too late. You know, I think what happens is that we think it's too late for people, or we don't really understand how to step in there in the midst of where it looks like everything's gone and there's no hope. We don't know how to step into those places because maybe we've never done it before. We're not comfortable with it, or we just don't know what God wants or what he needs. But it is possible, amen, to get a miracle for people at the 11th hour. The time doesn't mean God's over where there's no time. So he's not on anybody's clock at all, but he starts when we start over here. Amen. And he will hear any prayer, anytime, for anybody, for anything that's according to his will. And he's not willing that anybody perish, folks. He's, you know, that's not his will. Now, I don't know what all God does for people, but if we can pray for people to be saved and stick with it, see? The enemy is always showing us people's bad side so we can give up. But the Bible says, I'm the God of all flesh. Nothing's too hard for me. So if he says flesh, that means human beings. That means pets. That means he says nothing's too hard for me. So all you got to do is gather your faith muscle together, amen, and put it out there and let God have it, amen. And so once you understand how to confront impossible things, you know, my thing is always confront them with the word. Start speaking the word into these situations, you know, because sometimes people just get bad news and let it sit there and never say anything against it. So how is God going to work? So you got to give him some word to work with so that he can for sure, you know, bring what you need to pass. And that goes for all of us. So anytime you see what people consider a hopeless situation, you know, go to the Lord and say, God, if I start speaking your word over this or praying your word into this situation, you know, would you please turn it around? See, because his will is to turn it around. He's already done the work to turn it around. So we petition him, God, I just want to start speaking the word into this situation, and I'm asking you to turn it around. Amen. And that's just be consistent. Put him on your health prayer or whatever prayer you have where you pray the word all the time, and let that word start to work for people. Amen. That's what faithful people do. They, you do what you would want somebody to do for you if you were sick like they are. And if you were in need like they are, you got to do that first before God will raise up somebody to do that for you. So, you know, that's just the way it works. You sow the first seed, amen, and then that harvest will start coming to benefit you in your time of need, amen. So that's the way God works it out. So a priest is one who serves. He ministers, and he ministers over what we speak, what we say, what we pray, in other words. And when you pray something, praying is different than just speaking. When you pray something, you have your faith involved, you have your desire involved, you want to see it happen. You're not just sitting up saying the word over and over again. You understand? Through prayer is where you connect with God and where you get God's assurance that he's going to bring that to pass. You want that. You want that assurance. And so a lot of times people will say, well, I don't pray for so-and-so anymore. Well, don't brag. And so you discourage other people from praying that way. You know, people pray. You talk to God any kind of way you want to. As long as you're bringing his word to him and as long as you're doing it in faith, your faith is what pleases God. There have been people in the Bible, we'll go over some of these situations. When they start out, there's not much faith on what they're saying. So they need a minister to minister over the little bit they're putting out there. Amen? Turn to Mark chapter 7. We'll go over one of these, and you'll see how important it is to have Jesus minister over, and what a comfort it is to us to know that he can fix up your prayer, and he can fix up your faith, and he can add to you and help you get across the finish line and get what you want from God. I was thinking about that, how Norval said he just wants to show us he loves us. That's it. And here we have in Mark chapter, 7 and verse, I think it's 24 it starts. Yeah. The Syrophoenician woman. Now, she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. That does not stop Jesus from helping people. We have a covenant, but we minister to a lot of people we ain't so sure about, you know. And it says here, and from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he couldn't be hid. Amen. This is you too. There, people are going to find out you know how to pray before you even offer it. Why? God will show them. You understand? He could not be hid. They don't know. He doesn't say why. And he said, because he knew this for this reason, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet or right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Now, why would he say that to her? You know what? Her faith wasn't where it needed to be. That's first and foremost. When your faith ain't right, you'll get an answer from God. Amen. And he will let you know that something needs to be added to your faith, or he will query you or quiz you or bring something to your mind that will increase your faith. Because it has to be of a certain caliber, number one, before he can honor it and give it to you. Amen. Now, we know this from his interactions with the disciples. He would ask them, where's your faith? When they go wake him up to stop the storm, he said, where's your faith? How come you ain't using yours? Why, I got to be always the one to use my faith for y'all stuff. I ain't drowning. Y'all drowning. Why, I got to be the one. You understand what I'm saying? So he's provoking them, and they be scratching their head like, well, why would he say that to us? I mean, can we really do what he does? Got me? So that opens the door for them to think, well, maybe we can. So the next time they get in a boat situation, somebody wants to get out the boat. So Peter's remembering. They're learning as they go. Amen? So he's got to minister over their words. Amen. Amen. And yeah, you're right, Alicia. She needed to have her mail read, not for the sake of exposing her, but exposing her thinking that it's not right. So he does it to choose the way she's, to change the way she's thinking. That's what a good high priest does. They will change the way you think about something. Like, you know, people will say things at the altar and God will give me a response for them or, you know, well, the word says, why don't we do this? God says, you know, the word says so and so. So we're going to pray this way. You work with people. That's what a good minister does. Work with people to get their faith up to a level where they'll receive that anointing and they'll get what they ask for, or they'll receive agreement. And they'll know that we prayed in agreement for this and God's going to do it. Amen. So you want the resolution to be that they're going to get what it is that they're looking for. That's the ultimate, of a priest. Any priest, any intercessor, anybody who stands in the gap for people, that's your goal. Your goal is not to turn people away empty handed or tell them they can't have it. You know, that's not what we do. Amen. You always allow that, but you got to do it in truth. It's got to be God. You know what I'm saying? You can't pat people on the back. Oh, it's going to be all right. You just go home, little missy. And you understand what I'm saying? He wants her faith. He sees the object is her faith. And so, and this is what I was saying originally, when your relationship with God is not right, and you're trying to get your faith out and it's being pushed down by all these other thoughts in your head and all these other things that you haven't taken care of, and you got doubt because, well, I did this wrong and I did that wrong, and is God really going to forgive me? I mean, that seems like a lot. You got me? All that's got to be cleared up. It's got to be confessed out. It's got to be repented of. Blood's got to clean that up. And then your faith is free to get loose. So this lady comes up. She's really in sin, so to speak. Now, it's not like she doesn't have a covenant with God, but she's got enough bad stuff in her. Her faith is janky. When I say that, I mean it ain't right. And Jesus wants to get it right. He's not going to condemn her. That's not who he is, and that's not who we are either. We don't condemn people, but we don't patronize her. He can't say, oh, yeah, you go home, your daughter's well in the condition her faith is in, because it don't please him. It's not pleasing to him, and he has to get her to the point where her faith is pleasing without condemning her. Because she feels condemned already. Why would he heap more on top of that? But what he does is give them what they in the world, they call it a hair of the dog. A hair of the dog that bit you. You know, people who wake up, they drank a lot the night before and wake up with a hangover. You know, maybe it was, I don't know, whiskey. They said, just get a hair, don't go back to drinking again, which is always a mistake. Anybody drink that much is probably an alcoholic and they're going to start up all over again. But they say, just get a hair of the dog that bit you and you'll get straight. And it works. Amen. I know, because I used to be a good candidate for that treatment. Okay. Just give me a little shot and I'll be straight. Amen. Get the juices flowing again. You do that when you don't have God. Amen. So, but he's giving her a little dose of what's poisoning her on the inside. What's keeping her faith from working is she's expecting him to treat her bad. Like all the rest of the Jews. Treat the Syrophoenicians, treat the strange. You know, they put Jesus to death because he ate with people like her. He would sit down and dine with them. And you know, the Bible never said that God just didn't want them serving their gods. You got me? Well, the Pharisees, religious people take everything to the max. You know, they wind up messing the whole thing up, just taking it to the extreme. So Jesus got criticized for eating dinner with people like her, just sitting up, not letting them dine with them, you know, sharing the gospel with them. You know, he's making peace with the world. He's a Prince of Peace. If anybody can do it, he can. So he said, Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. Oh my, that rang her bell. Them people always coming first. They always treat me bad. They think they better than I am. They think I'm a dog. You got me? So this is what, and this kind of attitude hinders her faith. Why? Because she's looking at their God as not being a good God. See, she doesn't think she's just playing with him. She doesn't think Jesus is really going to heal her daughter. But she said, let me go and tell him, let me go and get him straight. Let me go and tell him how his people treat me. See? And so, you know, you get people like that all the time. You got people that need to be in a good church, but when they get to a good church, they'll come up to the pastor and want to rank him out for the way they say they were treated at the last place they went to. Well, if that's the way you act, no wonder you get treated bad. You don't even have respect for God's house and people who are serving God. You don't give people a chance. And trust me, people like that are going to run into wrong people all the time because they draw them to them. They're like a offense magnet because they're looking for it all the time. Looking for somebody who don't like them. Looking for somebody look wrong at me. That's the kind of woman she is when she starts out. But you know, she's talking to the God of all flesh. Nothing's too hard for him. He knows how to get rebellious flesh tamed down. He knows how to give her just enough of her own medicine to get her to get honest. Now she's thinking, now this is double-mindedness. This is how you cure double-mindedness. She's thinking on the one hand, I want him to heal my daughter so bad, but he's not going to do it because these people don't like me. They don't like people like me. They don't like, you understand what I'm saying? You know people like that? Of course you do. Most of us used to be like that, at least on a part-time basis, if not full-time. Every place you go, you expect bad treatment. Every place you go, people don't like you. Every place you go, they don't like your color. You know, that's a big thing again now. And we thought we were beyond the racism, but somebody's going to use it all the time to get people to believe what they want them to believe. If you're a Christian, nothing can stop you. I ain't black. I'm Christian, whatever color that is. I'm God's color. You got me? I gave up being black when I got saved. You understand me? Don't fall in the trap, folks. Don't go back there. God's been too good to you. And he made you the color you are, so he loves you anyway. You got somebody who loves you in spite of. Amen? So Jesus is ministering to her. This is ministry. Verse 27 is ministry. It may look like insults, but it's ministry. Amen. He says, let the children be filled first. She probably thinks that they always take care of their own first. They don't never get around to helping people like me. Amen. God's bigoted. He don't help people my color. Amen. God don't like me. You know, you put that on God. You can't be one thing one way. See, you can't be double-minded in life. That's what she is. So he's giving her a chance to get one mind. See, double-minded people can be straightened out. We get straightened out all the time, don't we? You can think one thing, God, I didn't even know you would do that for me. You ever been there? I sure have. You've been double-minded. I just thought, you know, I'd have to wait forever. I just thought it wouldn't happen for me. I just thought, you got me? He wants us to get us to one mind, and that's believing his word. And he says, oh, now let the children be filled first, because it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. See, this offense she carries this with her. This thing's got to be broken before her faith to work. She's got faith. It's just being pushed down and suppressed by what else is in her heart. So she's got to get out of her heart, push past that offense, not let that stop her. She's got to not let that rule her life anymore. It's called repentance, where you change the way you think. Amen. And she lets it be known, my kid is just as good as one of yours. Because that's how she really feels inside. But she trying to hide it, thinking Jesus is just like the rest of them crazy Pharisees. Well, you walked into the everlasting priesthood. You walked up to the one who loves everybody and is no respecter of persons. He just wants to see that you really believe he can do it. See, let's get past this who don't like you and who ain't for you and who preaching against you and who working against you. And let's get into what you really want. What do you believe? Do you believe God can really do this? Well, then let's deal on that level. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, she finally got courage. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The devil has gone out of your daughter. In other words, I finally got you to express your faith. Instead of expressing all your complaints and all your hang-ups and what's wrong with everybody else and who's stopping you from getting your prayers answered and who don't like you in this place and who don't never do nothing for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to get beyond that stuff and start to just really deal with God and his word and what he has for you. Amen? And that's what he's trying to get her to do. He said, for this saying, in other words, Jesus had to pretty much whack her over the head to get the truth out of her. You got me? I'm going to say it again for everybody who think it ain't right to say stuff like that to people. You're trying to get people to receive from God. You're not trying to hurt people's feelings. But people will lie at the altar. So you got to get them to start telling the truth up there. They'll have it on their mind to say the right thing and then get up there in front of God and try to pretty it up and hide it. So you got to get truth out of people. Tell them, don't say that. Now stop it. What do you want? You know, that kind of stuff. And let people know, just cut and dry. Spit it out. Don't try to pretty up. Don't tell me no stories. Tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you need. Amen. So it's time for truth when you come. When you get in the presence of God, it's time for truth, folks. You don't need to come up there with no fictitious stuff. Amen. And he says, when she was come to her house, she found the devil had gone out and her daughter was laid up there on the bed. How do we know that's what she saw? She told everybody. And see, that's Jesus' payoff for dealing with this nutty woman. She's as bigoted as the people she's pointing the finger at. You ever realize that? People always say everybody that hurt them, they terrible to live with. You try living with some of these people. And you think, you know, them people was right. You kind of hard. You kind of tough to be around, sister. You know, we got to take some of your prickly edges off. So this lady was probably somebody walked around in an attitude, and nobody could penetrate that hard shell except the high priest over her confession. He read between the lines and saw, if I can get this lady to get past her feeling that she's no good because of how she's been treated, or I'm going to treat her like everybody else that she lumps me in the same category with. So you got to be careful about that. Sometimes people just look at people in a whole big conglomerate. They don't look at individuals. And that she wasn't expecting anything much different. But I think she made up her mind that it was important enough for her to go to Jesus. And sometimes that's all the faith you need. You got to know it's important enough for you to go to ask. And if it's important enough for you to ask, he will get you straight on the rest of it. Amen. You won't leave his presence until your faith is straightened out. And that's a wonderful thing about the Lord. So I tell people, don't try to fix up your confession before you pray. Talk to God. God, I keep hearing in my head, brother so-and-so's three lists and brother so-and-so's this is that's wrong and don't say this and don't say that. And I'm totally wore out. God, I just want what I want. So I'm asking. And I believe you can do it, God. So just get me straightened out and put me on the way, on the road to success. I want to get some fruit out of my life. So I want to know how to get along with you because you're the only one who can help me and help me fix the words right. And Jesus will fix your words up right. He'll make you say the right prayer, or he will hear your heart and give you what you need. Amen. He said he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, I'm all for not speaking anything. Once you nail down what you want from God, I'm all for not saying anything contrary to it. Even if you're talking about just how you feel right now, you know, guard against uprooting what you've already prayed by putting your faith in something contrary to it. Amen. But sometimes you need to cry out to God. Say, God, I ain't feeling good today. Well, that's how you feel right now, so you're entitled to say it. But at the end of the day, you want to feel better. So, God, get me to feeling better. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, don't be so rigid about things, but don't let yourself get into one of those discouragement modes where you say anything about how you feel and what you think and all that kind of stuff. Learn to let your words be few, but always seek to line up with what you already prayed. Be in agreement with what you've already prayed. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray and ask God for what we need for this week. Amen? And we need to have a good confession. We need to say the things that we want and what we need in life. And we need to take a stand against the enemy, you know, a forever stand against the devil. So we want to pray this prayer for warriors and begin to fit ourselves into this mold already, all the time. So, Lord, we're asking you to cause your people to submit to the Lord of hosts and the fivefold ministry gifts and live a disciplined life, that we would submit to the prophet's direction and vision for the body of Christ, that we put on the full arm of God, that we use your word skillfully, that we walk in the Spirit so that we will not obey the lusts of the flesh, that we will study to show ourselves approved unto your will and rightly divide your word, the word of truth, that we would obey Mark 16, 17, and 18 and have signs following, that we would strengthen our arms so that the bow of steel is broken in them, that we would be of an excellent spirit, that you would give us purity in our hearts so that we can see you. And we thank you, Lord, for Deuteronomy 23 and 4, and it says, we will hear your voice, approach unto battle against our enemies. Our hearts will not be faint, nor fear, nor tremble, nor be terrified because of our enemies. For the Lord our God goes with us to fight for us against our enemies and to save us. So let the fearful and the faint-hearted return to his house, lest their brethren's hearts faint also. And we thank you, Lord, to cause the body of Christ to get a revelation of the necessity for the end-time church to be a warring church. But we bind spirits of mockery and folly that cause believers to make fun of prophetic warfare and warfare strategies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we will walk in that, that the church will not kill, wound, or thrust one another, and that we will hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, that we will walk in your ways, and you will soon subdue our enemies and turn your hand against our adversaries. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen again. And Father, we thank you for every prayer that we prayed today. We thank you, Lord, that those prayers are being worked on because they are answered already because of your covenant with us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust in your timing for the answers. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen. So I'm going to pray for some people. We're going to do our declaration first. But don't forget our broadcast, 9 a.m. tomorrow and Monday and 9 p.m. on Wednesday. Amen. So we'll do our declaration, and before we adjourn, I'm going to pray with those individuals who ask for prayer. Praise God. I'm up. Praise God. All right, repeat after me. I don't have Rona. She don't have me. I can't get her. She can't get me. And I don't have, and whatever else you're fighting. Thank you, Lord. If it's symptoms, if it's pills, sometimes you're healed, but you fight pills and they remind you you're not, you got some work to do yet. So we got to wrestle against that. Get free from all things that are not the word. That's our goal. You know, you don't have to quit it on your own. God will tell you to quit. Amen. And it don't have me. Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed. Amen, amen, amen again. It's so decreed. Amen. Praise God. Amen.